Have you ever gone to pray and you ask yourself, well, what should I pray for? Maybe you start praying and you're listening to yourself and it just seems like a lot of meaningless mumblings and repetitive ramblings. Can you ask, what should I be praying for? Perhaps you haven't prayed for a long time, and you would like to pray, but again, you just wonder, well, what should I pray for? It's been such a long time, I'm sort of out of the way of this. Or maybe you're actually at the other end of the scale, and you are super organized, you have a long prayer list, and you've got it all structured and in categories, but when you go to pray, you've got all the what you should pray for, but it seems so long and mechanistic and robotic. It feels like a burden rather than a pleasure. It's more like a ritual than a relationship. And again, you're asking, maybe I've got this wrong. Well, what should I pray for? What should I pray for? We've been looking at various aspects of prayer over recent weeks, looking at some images. Hopefully these images will help to stick or Velcro these lessons to our mind better, but we've looked at the throne of prayer. We've looked at the cross in prayer. We've looked at the battlefield. We've looked at the supper table, the door, the window. Last week, we looked at the schedule, the when of prayer. And this week, we want to look at the list, the prayer list. As we ask this question, what should we pray for? Now, there isn't a passage, or at least there isn't one passage in the Bible that gives us an exhaustive list of what we should pray for. But the nearest we've got to that is the Lord's Prayer. And if we want to look at the whole of the Lord's Prayer today, rather than look at each of the individual petitions, and just draw two very simple lessons for us about what we should pray for. And the Lord's Prayer is very clear on these two issues. And the first one is this: God is first in prayer. That's one of the reasons why it speaks of lifting up holy hands in prayer. It's recognizing that we begin up there, not down here. We begin with God, not with ourselves. God is first in prayer. The Lord's Prayer doesn't tell us everything we need to know about prayer, but it does bring this very simple but substantial and serious lesson to us, that we are to start with God and to start with God's list in prayer rather than our own. Or maybe better to say, let His prayer list edit our prayer list. So what do we see when we look at the Lord's Prayer? Why should we pray with God's interest first in our prayers? You see how when Jesus teaches us to pray, He does begin with God, right? He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Here's God's list. Why pray it first? Well, first of all, because God's list is more important than our list. His priorities are going to be right priorities, whereas ours, they may be wrong. So we're recognizing that we have our list, God is His. His is more important and more influential than our own. But we also begin with Him because praying God's list first will change our list. having God's priorities in front of us will change and impact our own. Thirdly, we begin with God's list because when we begin with God, we remember and recognize who it is we're praying to. And that's a huge encouragement to us in prayer. If we skip this and just go to ourselves, we are disconnected from the reality of who God is. But if we begin with God, we remind ourselves of who He is, of how great His name is, how massive His kingdom is, how powerful His will is, then this stirs up and stimulates prayer in us as we realize and recognize we're praying to the Almighty God who can do anything and everything. But we also pray God's list first because His interests actually align with our own. We might not realize that. We might not immediately agree with that. But God has so designed prayer and us that when we pray His list first, it will align with our interests as well. And it will advance what are our real interests. It will impact our genuine concerns. And lastly, we pray God's list first because it will change the world and our little world far more than we probably realize. So although it's God's list first, that list really impacts our own, impacts our expectation of prayer, encourages us in prayer. It changes our list. It changes us. It changes our world. It's in our interest, therefore, to start with God's interests. What then are His interests? What are His priorities? Well, we're told here three particular areas to bring before God: His name, His kingdom, and His will. As Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, and your will be done." He's saying, start with my name, start with hallowing it, which means making it shine, putting a luster and a polish and a sparkle upon it, lifting it up in our thoughts and hearts and in our words, taking time to praise who God is, what He has done, all that He has said in His word, taking time to lift up His name and adore it and see the beauty and the loveliness in it. So this cultivates in us a worshipful spirit. And then we move on to His kingdom. And this is all about seeking the advancement of His kingdom. Your kingdom come. May God's kingdom have success. May it progress. May it conquer. May it displace and defeat the devil's kingdom. May it rule and reign over every other kingdom. May it ultimately advance. And as we pray for God's kingdom, we add to the worshipful spirit a militant spirit. We see ourselves as part of God's kingdom, as part of this great advancing kingdom in the world. It gives us greater courage and confidence as we do so. And then we pray for God's will to be done here as in heaven. And this is looking at God's will, first of all, in terms of submitting to His providential will, submitting to His plan for our lives. That's not revealed in the Bible. None of us can go to the Bible and say, well, this is what's going to happen in 2022, 2023, 2024 for us. None of us know that. The plan of God, the will of God in our lives unfolds day by day. without us knowing what each day will bring. But when we are praying, your will be done, we're praying, help us to submit to that will. Help us to accept that will. Help us to cooperate with that will, not fight it or rebel against it. But it's also encouraging us to obedience to God's revealed will, what he has made known in the Bible, what he does want us of us in this life. And so as we submit to God's providential will and obey God's revealed will, we're cultivating there a servant spirit. So you see how this is changing us? As we pray God's name, a worshipful spirit grows. As we pray about God's kingdom, a militant spirit grows. As we pray for God's will to be done, a servant spirit is kindled. And so this putting of God's interest versus is also impacting our own, isn't it? It's influencing us for the better. So God is first in prayer. What does that mean in terms of our story of prayer? Well, it's calling us, isn't it, to change our prayers. We're all guilty of it. We go to prayer and we just go straight to me, or my family, or my troubled situation. But what we're being encouraged to do here is to change that. And however short or long it may be, to begin with God, to put God first, his name, his kingdom, and his will. You know, you'll see books in Christian bookstores, and there'll be titles like The Secret of Prayer. Yes, oh, good, here's the secret. There's no secret. There's no secret. God's made it very clear and plain, and he's publicized it. And he says, this is the key to prayer, and it's not a secret. It's begin with me. Begin with my name, my kingdom, and my will. And that doesn't mean we use the same words every day. No, we can vary our words and our vocabulary in all of these three areas, his name, his kingdom, and his will, so that we refresh our prayers. One way to kill prayer is just to say the same thing in the same way every single day. Another way we can refresh these prayers is maybe use the Psalms. If you look at the Psalms again, you'll see there God first, his name, his kingdom, his will. Use the Psalms to renew and refresh and reinvigorate your prayers. Or get one of those prayer books. There are old ones, there are new ones. Talk to Pastor Jordan. He has a number that he draws from, and he introduces us to some of them in our weekly worship. One of my favorite authors in terms of prayers is Scotty Smith. He's a present-day pastor, and he has a number of books of prayers. And it's not saying you stay there. I think it's always helpful to get input from other people's prayers, but then go on, learn from that, build on that, and go into your own more spontaneous times of prayer. But this is calling us to change our prayers and use helps to do so. But also remember, in doing that, prayer will change you. As you change your prayers, prayer will change you. Putting God first in this way will change our prayers, but it will also change us. It will change how we view ourselves, how we view our world, how we view other people. It'll change what we pray for, how we pray, when we pray. It will change us positively. So let's focus on God first. And one of the secondary benefits of that is that as we do so, as we put God first, we'll see how much we need to be changed ourselves. Because then we're not comparing ourselves any longer with one another, but comparing ourselves with God and seeing his sufficiency and our insufficiency, his power and our weakness, his supply for our need. So we put God first in prayer. We begin prayer with the beginner of prayer. We begin prayer with the beginner of prayer. That's what the Lord's Prayer teaches us, isn't it? We begin with God. So who's second, or what's second? Well, again, we turn to the Lord's Prayer for the answer on that. We are second in prayer. We're not in the first plinth podium. We're in second place. And that's okay. If God's first, that's all good. That's how it's meant to be. And before we look at what this really means for us in detail, just again notice, although God is first in the first part of the Lord's Prayer, we've seen our interests are also involved, right? And as we go to the second part of the prayer and we see who is second in prayer, we'll also see God's interests are involved there too. So it's not like all God and then all us. These are interlaced. They are interconnected. But for sure, there's an emphasis difference. God is more emphasized in the first. We are more emphasized in our needs in the second. I want to show you here how the Lord's Prayer, when it comes to us, identifies four categories that we should be praying in and about. Four categories. The first is for deliverance from physical problems. You see that here when it prays, first of all, give us this day our daily bread. That's the physical world it's concerned with, isn't it? The supply for our bodily needs. And the focus is here specifically on food, but it includes all our bodily needs. Not just our food, but our drink, our clothing, our shelter. It's God saying, you can bring the physicality of life to me. Bring me your humanity. Bring me your physical appetites and lay them before me. And I will provide and I will deliver you from physical problems. We are permitted, we are encouraged to pray for deliverance from physical challenges in our lives. Second category is legal problems, deliverance from legal problems. And that's what's mentioned here when it says, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our debts. Now, of course, this is speaking not of finance, right? It's speaking about financial issues, debts. But as illustrative of guilt debt, as the verses 14 and 15 make clear, because this speaks not just of debt, but of trespasses, of sins. And therefore here, God is saying you should pray, after you've prayed for your bodily needs to be met, pray about this legal problem you have. And the legal problem you have is you are standing guilty before a holy God, and you need that massive spiritual debt forgiven and put away. And so he's saying, bring that problem to God. The one you're praying to, you are guilty before. So you need to deal with that problem. Then the third category is relational problems. Deliver us from relational problems. And we see that in two ways. First of all, the follow-up prayer to forgive us our debts is, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So it's turning from, Lord, forgive me, and help me to forgive others. That's very explicit. And then you'll see throughout the prayer the emphasis on we and our. It's not an individualistic prayer. It's very much a corporate prayer, a group prayer. It's praying as part of a body. And therefore here, the prayer specifically and by implication is saying, you have some relational issues that need to be brought before God in prayer. There are breaches, there are divisions, there are conflicts that you need to bring to God for His help and His healing. That's the third category. And then the fourth one is very specifically spiritual. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Really, a division here of two kinds of spiritual problem. One, which is temptation. That's really evil arising from within. And then deliver us from evil is really speaking of evil outside of us. And it's recognizing that we face spiritual challenges both inside us and outside us that we need deliverance from. And when he's praying this, he's saying, please stop us ending up in these problems. Please help us and sustain us when we're in them. And please get us out of them in your own good time as well. So four categories of prayer when it comes to our needs: physical, legal, relational, and spiritual. But then let's just take a moment or two to ask a bit more about this us, this our element that comes up again and again and again in this prayer. What does that encourage us to do? Well, I want to show you a circle that I have found very helpful in my own life. I was given it early in my Christian life. I don't know if you can see it. I'll try and highlight the words. God really is calling us when we're praying in us and we and our. He's inviting us to pray seven circles of prayer, ever widening circles. And of course, it begins with the circle of God at the very center, the very beginning. Then it's like you drop a pebble in the water. There's a ripple that goes out from that. And the first ripple, the second ripple, is me. So we pray for ourselves. And then family is the next priority in our prayers. If God's put us in a family, given us a family, then that is our next priority after ourselves. Then church, family, the specific church God has put us into. This is getting wider, isn't it? It's another ripple. Then beyond the church, there's community, the places we are living in, the places we work, places we study. Again, a bit wider, the national scene, getting much bigger here, until the final circle, which is international, going beyond this nation to the nations of the world. And if you think about the four categories we looked at, they are relevant in all of these circles. You can think of me. So we pray about our own physical, legal, relational, and spiritual needs. Then we go to our family and we pray the four categories: the physical, the legal, the relational, and our spiritual needs. We think of our church family. Again, we think of the physical needs, the legal needs, the relational needs, and the spiritual needs, and so on. So we have four categories, and we have seven circles. So how should this change our prayers? I hope you're praying for me just now. Well, this should change our daily prayers. In this sense, we can't pray all the categories and all the circles all day, right? That's impossible. That's just too high a mountain to climb. But what we can do is we can pray in one of the categories one day and another the next day and another the next day and another the next day. Or we can take one of the circles one day, and then another circle another day, and another circle another day, and so on. So we're focusing on a particular category or a particular circle, and we are, as it were, niching down in our prayers. This will refresh our prayers. It will vary our prayers. It will increase the variety of our prayers, the enjoyment of prayer as well. So this should change our daily prayers, but I also want to point you to a few prayer helps. So these really fall into three categories: a prayer list, a prayer journal, and a prayer app. The prayer list is very simple. You just write the list out on a piece of paper, maybe the four categories, and you put some things underneath that, or the seven circles and four categories under that. Or you can have a prayer journal where you actually write out prayers, and then you can go back to them maybe in a few weeks. You build a journal of prayers that you can bring before God in the years to come. And then there's a prayer app. This is the one that I have found helpful at times in my life. It's the one that Tim Challies, the blogger, recommends. You can look up articles by him on this. It's called Prayer Mate. And it just really helps you get some order, get organized, ultimately to vary your prayers and to just find prayer more interesting. I think there's always a balance we're trying to strike here, isn't there, between being over-organized and being completely disorganized. If we are over-organized, it's all lists and apps and all the details, it just becomes mechanical, robotic. If there's no order, no organization, then we're just going round in circles. We're saying the same things, the same ways, every single day. Both ways drain prayer and drain joy from prayer. So we've really got to get to know ourselves a bit here. If we are more of the disorganized character, we probably need a bit more organization. If we are the hyper-organizers, then we probably need a bit more spontaneity. And therefore, together, we're trying to find that place, depending on our characters, our strengths, our weaknesses, that will help us pray in a way that is both powerful before God and enjoyable for us. So really, you can sum up like this: a general structure plus particular spontaneity equals focused and felt prayer. So general structure, whether it's the seven circles or the four categories, keep that general. But within these, be very spontaneous and free in the specific prayers within. And depending on how you combine these, that general structure and particular spontaneity, I think you'll find your prayers will become focused and felt, which is that beautiful combination that will keep us praying through dark times. So, what should I pray for? Pray God first, we second prayers, for focused and felt prayers. God first, us second, for focused and felt prayers. And as we think about this, we cannot but think about the Lord Jesus, can we? Because he was sinless in his prayers. That's staggering to me. I mean, a sinless life in this world is staggering, but sinless prayers? Like, he got these categories bang on. He got these circles bang on. He got the God first, we second thing bang on. He was perfect every day in every way. He had both focused and felt prayers. It cannot but induce worship of who he is, our perfect praying Savior. And as we feel our failings in these areas, we bring all our imperfections to him. All our imperfect prayers, all our me first, God second prayers, our unfelt, unfocused prayers, our uncategorized, messy prayers, and say, Lord, cover them all with your perfect prayers. Your perfect prayer life is my hope and my salvation. This is where we want to end all our prayers. This is why we end our prayers with the pardon of all our sins in Jesus' name, amen. We're basically saying we tried and we failed. Lord, you tried and you succeeded, and we ask you to cover with your salvation yet again. And so prayer really leads us to the gospel, doesn't it? To the God who comes and says, I'll accept your prayers in Jesus' name for Jesus' sake. And that will give us focus, and that will give us feeling, and that will help us keep God first and ourselves second, and motivate us to keep going as each day we are forgiven and pardoned, even in the most holy things. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.